last time.
Hello, I'm Matt Everett, and I'm back with The First Time. This is the show where we meet some of the most influential and best-loved musicians around and take a look at the pivotal first musical moments that made them who they are today. My guest today is a Senegalese singer and musician who has embraced music from all across Africa and the West and created work that is respected and loved the world over. Someone who's travelled the globe seeking out other musicians for remarkable collaborations that have taken him from his birthplace of Podor on the Senegal River to Dakar, Paris, the UK and America, making music which blends folk, gospel, pop and electronica, adopting a role that is as much about being a spiritual musical leader as a singer, although he is a remarkable singer. I'm very pleased to say my guest on The First Time this week is Barbara Marl. Here we talk about Barbara's first musical influences and the role of music in his family and community in Podor, but also how Western rock and roll, soul and jazz made a big impact on him. We talk about his time as part of the 70-piece orchestra and artistic group Aslefuta and his experiences living in Paris and discovering reggae. We also cover his soundtrack work. He's worked on soundtracks to Ridley Scott's Black Hawk Down and the blockbuster film Black Panther, as well as the making of his acclaimed 1998 album Nomad Soul and his ongoing belief in the power of music to make the world and us better. But I started by asking him, as I do with all my guests, when was he first aware of music?
I think I had 7 or 8 years, because my father came back from France with a kind of very first old vinyls. And I just came back from school. I was quite new at the school. I came back from school. He was sitting there with his friends and he was playing this thing. I call it thing because I don't know what it was, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't say that in the whole village or the small town I come from, no one had the machine like that. Nobody. So everyone was there surrounding this little machine and they put the thing. I heard the music. Mm. I didn't know. It's later on that I knew that who was singing, who was playing the music. And very fascinating.
Who was it?
Kwetu Surikanja.
Right.
He's a singer from Guinea. I think he's one of the first people, big voices at that time in Mali, Guinea. Not really in Senegal,
right,
but Guinea and Mali. Maybe in Ivory Coast, in some of this part of Africa. But there, that was the first people who get the chance to be recorded in that way. And people was playing it. I'm sure it was kind of a luxurious thing to get.
Yeah.
Something like that, and to listen to it, to come back to your village and say, hey, this is new. This is what people played in the big capital of Dakar or something.
Yeah. That must have been kind of magical to never see a phonogram, to never see a record. That must have made quite an impact on you straight away.
Yeah, yeah. It was a big impact on me because I did like music. I love music. I did like singing or listening to my mother and her friends singing. Mm. But we never thought that the music or anything like that can be recorded, captured in something.
Yeah.
For us, it's just something you do naturally every day in your life. And to be captured in something, that was quite magic.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't travel at all that much, not further than 20 kilometers or 40 kilometers from where I was.
Yeah.
So to see if something else did happen.
Yeah. When did you first think, I've got a voice, I've got a music in me that I want to share?
Not sharing, but I got a music in me.
Right.
My hometown called Podor mm-hmm. is a very cultural hometown, cultural city, because it's right on the edge of the Empire of Mali. And people used to travel from there to go to Mali to get to perfect their way of making music or playing instruments and come back.
Right.
But at the same time, it's composed by the many, many, many ethnic groups from West Africa. It used to be a free land, a free place, where slaves who run away from their masters can come to live. People who used to be rich and then lose everything just can come and start a new life. Or kings who are not anymore kings, so they are very ashamed to stay in their village. They just come to sit, and you see all the different family names of West Africa down there.
Mm.
So which means all the music and the culture of the different communities, every night you can hear them from place to place. So I grew up like that. And I was so curious. And my mother also was a singer. In her way, she loved to, in the afternoon, after they make the food, lunch, they just, it's a hot place. They just come together, sit down in the corner of the house, and make some chat about things happening in the village. And then suddenly start singing or writing songs. They write songs every week or every month.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, these are songs that sometimes, and they are so well done, can travel. People are fascinated by these songs. They pick up the songs, they go and they sing it in some other places, and they add something.
Yeah.
Because they sing about their life. They sing about their sadness. They sing about their brothers or friends who did travel, went away. They sing about when they work, about how hard it is the work of the women. They sing about the beauty of the nature. They sing about everything, you know. And this is why I grew up listening to my mother and her friends, and sometimes picking up some of the song and repeating it. But every time when I start to sing, they all turn their head. And I start to say, why? Why are they appreciate so much what my way of singing? I didn't know. And later on, I saw my mother being asked sometime when there is some ceremonies, cultural ceremonies, being asked, can you lend us your young boy to come to sing for us? I thought it like a game, like something, but never like, I am a singer. I never thought it like that.
Yeah.
But people was always saying, he have a good voice. He's very intelligent. He pick up the songs quickly.
Mm.
He deliver them very nicely, better than the one who make the songs.
Yeah.
And just like that.
So was that your first performance, your first performance in front of an audience?
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you remember from that? Do you remember thinking, like, I belong here, there's a crowd?
not big crowd, it's at least 50 people or 100 people at least. They could just come in a small place and just start watching the performance, the dancing and listening. We love to dance also.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start to dance, we have to sing the song. The sing song and the drums comes in, and then end up with the big party of dance. So I'm excited to see that in the middle of all the persons, very old, like the age of my mom or my uncle, I was there like an attraction.
What did you sing? Can you remember the song?
I pick up some of the songs that my mom was singing, right. And I sing them.
Yeah. Who did you want to be? Who was your first musical hero?
I wanted to be like the one I told you, Kwet Sirikanja. Then later on, I came into that big group with 60 people, drummers, guitarists, called the Lasli Futa. Lasli is our mm-hmm. our traditions, you know, to celebrate. And one day we were sitting in my hometown, Podo. We came to play there. We were sitting near the river. And I was with the people who are like the directors, like they're older than me. And they asked me the same question, who do you want to be? I say, I want to be Kwet Sirikanja. Because I loved him. I love his voice. It made me dream about how Africa was, how people was entertaining the kings, the kingdoms, the people. Everything comes through his voice, you know.
Because you started, even at a young age, drawing in music from everywhere. Lots of, like, American music and jazz and R&B. It was like you had a really wide range of influences.
Yeah, it's not me. It's these influences just came to us.
Right.
Because it was around the first days of the independence of countries like Senegal. Mali was there, Guinea was there. And I would get the chance to go to school, and like a kind of intellectual boy, mm-hmm. when we came back on holiday in our places, we did like to put the little vinyl to show that we are connected to the outside world. And it's the music, and we was listening to James Brown, Wilson Pickett, Aretha Franklin, Johnny Hallyday, yeah. All of them just, and you can't avoid listening to them, especially the black musicians from America, like James Brown, for example.
No, we need it so proud. We got to have it so proud. No, we want it so proud. Got to have it so proud. Give it to me so proud. Hey! We need it so proud. We want it so proud. Got to have it so proud. I want to get on your skin. If I get there, I've got to win. We need some.
Side going in the night listening to the Moorish people from Mauritania who lives there. There are 30% of them in my hometown. So it came to your mind that there is something similar in the voices, in the warm thing, on the way they singing, or maybe you look at the little vinyl, you see the photos and the attitude on them, all come to your mind. And at that time I didn't know that it can be, because it's when I went further down into the riches at the high school that I discovered that these are the people who went, or their grandparents went with some music that became the blues or the style of music. This is why. Because I end up thinking that culture never die. Maybe the languages did change.
Yeah.
And the instrument they played music did change. But the way they playing music, or the way they feeling life and bring music out,
yeah.
is still the same,
yeah.
you know, and this is why there is the connection.
Yeah.
And it did open my curiosity. I say, I want to push that later. If I get an opportunity, I want to push that to see why and how it's connected,
yeah.
which part of America is connected to which part in Africa.
Yeah. Let's choose a song from your list. What should we choose? What's a good example of what we were just talking about?
You choose.
Well, you mentioned Johnny Hallyday. Tell me about Noir C'est Noir.
We loved, at that time, what they call Salut les copains, because we was at the high school, and we had a lot of little magazines, you know, the colonialism. So I was in the school called the Lycée Charles de Gaulle, and there was a lot of support from the French government.
Right.
And in this support, they sent us all these little magazines where you see there was Johnny Hallyday and later on Claude Francois, Mireille Mathieu. And we was following their life down there. But I was very much fascinated by Johnny Hallyday. He was handsome. He's tall.
Cool guy.
And tall guy. And then he come with this song, Noir, C'est Noir. And I think the noir first captured my idea, because I'm a black person. So why he say Noir, C'est Noir? And I was captured by the song. It was a huge hit in Senegal that time. People love that song.
Je suis dans le noir, j'ai du mal à croire.
So tell me about Dakar, the kind of the music attitude there. How do people feel about music? Is it very much, you know, some cities just push just music out all the time. Other cities kind of don't.
You're doing your hands like that. Dakar is just like that with music. From inside, from the inland, I call it, from Mali, from Ivory Coast, from Central Africa, Dakar love music. And from outside also, I think the one of the music that they to absorb to the first and really, really well is the Cuban music.
Yeah.
Maybe it's much more simple and much more accessible to them. And also it's easy for, but there is something for Dakar. We love music. We listen to music, we bring music to us, and we adapt this music in a Senegalese way.
Yeah.
For example, when the orchestra Aragon, they came to Dakar and they hear the orchestra Baobab playing, or some other people playing Cuban music and taking all their melodies and putting in some African languages, and it works so beautifully. They were fascinated by that. This is a Senegalese way. Everything we get, we make it Senegalese in our own way. And you can't recognize your song when we change it. You can't recognize some type of thing in it. But you will say, wow, how did they make it happen like that? This is the way people are making music Senegal. Listening to music, loving music, but at the same time being very, very much inspired to create new patterns, to put it in everything. Every month, the young people, they play on the sabar, the African Senegalese drums. Mm. But every month or every 2 or 3 months, they create new pattern. That's why people are very creative in musically talking. And everyone lives with music. Even the spiritual leaders, when they are in a certain level, they say, yes, we are spiritual, we are religious people, but inside of them, because they live with music, all their life were written by different ceremonies where music it was there. They know the music.
Yeah.
And you can surprise some of them when they listen to music just banging their feet on the floor because they can't avoid it. It's in your blood.
We could do with some more British politicians listening to music, I think. It would be a good thing, generally.
It would help. It would help this country.
Yeah, Orchestra Baobab, what's the track you've chosen?
The track I chose, and I love all their tracks, you know, Orchestra Baobab. The one we chose is a beautiful track, and it's sung by someone that I love, who's called Rudy Gomez.
Sin querer, querer, querer mi corazón.
Tell me about the first time you went to a recording studio.
The recording in the studio.
Yeah.
It's a different thing. You know, when I came back from St. Louis, I was at the high school in St. Louis at the north of Senegal. The first time I hear my voice from the radio.
Yeah. It's a different thing.
I want a scout boy. And there was a big jamboree. It's a big meeting of all the scout boys and girls from Senegal. And there was a reporter. Later on, he put on his own radio station. He was excited by music and culture and loved this city, St. Louis. His name is Golbert Jain. He just came to make a report of this meeting of the scout boys.
Right.
And in the middle of this meeting, my friends from my high school just pushed me inside. They said, Baba Mal, go sing a song. Because everyone was singing a song from his own region. And I started to sing the song, and he recorded it. It was around midday. At 6 o'clock in the afternoon, I start to hear the song at the radio. I was so in shock. I didn't know how did my voice sound. You know, when you perform at your village and thing, you know, nothing is recorded. You just hear it in your head, you know. But that was the first time I hear my voice from a small thing, which is called radio, just coming out of it. I was in between being pleased, being shocked, and maybe in a dream. And frightened also at the same time. Yeah, frightened because I say, now it's there. What am I going to do? Am I going to be a singer? Or is it just because I'm a school boy just who is with his friends or just entertaining them? But I think this is something that did help me to say, yes, I can be a musician one day.
Because then you start to make records that are really, you know, start connecting with people. The audience gets wider and wider. You start to get known. You start to get, you know.
When people start to know about me is when I get my exam at the end of the high school period. And I came to Dakar and I joined this group I called Lasli Futa.
Mm-hmm. 70 people?
70 people. But it's not just a musical group. It's just theater, it's just dance, it's a ballet, it's everything. And it's the people from my region who just come to Dakar and walk down there and want not to be disconnected to where they come from.
Mm.
So they make this ballet. So when they perform, all the people from this region come to support and to see. So when I came down there, there was many singers on this Lasli Futa. One of my friends, who became later my manager, was a singer himself, went to see someone who had a program at radio and see, I want you to record this boy who come from Podor. That's the only way that people was recording things. Even that vinyl I did talk about, Kwad Surukanja, I think it was recorded in on a station, radio station,
okay.
And some Western people just take it and make a vinyl on it. Because when you listen to the sound, you can feel that it comes from a radio studio like this. And we was given 2 hours. They say, you have 2 hours. It was 3 microphones, we have 2 guitars and 2 singers, and we was recorded like that at radio. And I remember there is 4 old men who are really, really musicians, storytellers, they are griots, who was down there and was just watching. And when I came out of the studio, I did 2 songs, came to have some drink, and they say, asked me, what's your name? I say, my name is Baba Mal. One of them say, no, you are not Baba Mal, you are Baba Bien. Baba Good, because
right.
Mal in French is bad. And say, yeah, Baba Good. What are you doing? I say, I'm at the university. I didn't take the decision to go to the conservatory yet. And he said to me, you have a beautiful voice, and I wish you all the best. After when the recording did came out, I didn't want my dad to know about it. Because I say, bye, I'm going to the university to follow my studies. And he didn't want me to choose that to be a musician. It was not secure for me on his vision, you know. And I didn't want people to mention any of my name at the radio. I say, please don't mention my name because someone down there at the north will come in to hit me if he listen to my voice. Till one day, I don't know how, he discovered that it was me. He asked me a question, I answered, and say, yes, if you want to do it like that, I'm with you. So it was at the radio. And I did many, many other recording down there at the radio before I start to get to travel and to be recording normally with cassettes before, and then vinyls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's choose another song. Let's talk about Bob Marley.
Oh, yes.
Yes. when did you first hear Bob, and why have you chosen this song?
I can't say really that I discovered Bob when I came to Paris.
Right.
I had a friend who was in love with reggae music. He was like a rebel himself, you know. He loved to have his gunshot, saying, you have to listen to this man, you know. His name is Bob Marley, you know. I knew about Jimmy Cliff and some other people, Desmond Dekker. I knew all about them, but not Bob. And he started to talk to me about the story of Bob, about his fight, about his traveling all over Europe, about... And he had this vinyl, this green vinyl, when it was a European tour of Bob Marley, and I think, the first one. And I was looking at the vinyl, and I was attracted to the music. But what I really like in Bob is the messages are really clear to capture. Maybe the others, you love the music, you love the voices, and if you are not careful, you will be attracted by the beauty of the music that they're doing. But with Bob, it's the messages.
Marley and No Woman, No Cry. The choice of my first time guest this week, Barbara Marl. In a few minutes, we'll hear more about Barbara's experiences living in Paris, his film soundtrack work, and why he equates freedom with the tattooed naked form of Fela Kuti. That's all coming up after the Six Music News.
Six Music. BBC Radio Six Music. BBC News at 1:30, I'm Claire Ronacres. Pressure is mounting on the BBC chairman Richard Sharp after a report by MPs found he had not given them the full facts prior to his appointment. The Digital, Culture, Media and Sport Committee says Mr Sharp made significant errors of judgment by helping Boris Johnson secure a loan facility while he was Prime Minister. Mr Sharp insists he's done nothing wrong. Labour says his position is increasingly untenable. Sir Craig Oliver, who was David Cameron's head of communications and used to work for the BBC, believes Mr Sharp's own actions have made his position more difficult.
The report probably would have gone a lot easier on Richard Sharp if he'd shown humility in this. His apology is a kind of sorry, not sorry apology, and he insists he did nothing wrong. But I think any reasonable person looking at this would have said, look, you know, you put your fingers near the mangle of the Prime Minister's finances, and not disclosing it was a bad idea.
The Russian militia group Wagner says it's captured a village on the northern outskirts of Bakhmut in the eastern Donbass region of Ukraine. Bakhmut has been at the centre of brutal fighting between Ukrainian and Russian forces for months. A teenager's been charged with assaulting an emergency services worker in connection with a protest outside a hotel in Merseyside housing asylum seekers on Friday night. 19-year-old Jared Skeet from Liverpool also faces a violent disorder charge. He's due in court tomorrow. The UN aid chief says the international community has failed the people of northwest Syria, where thousands have died in the earthquakes that struck Syria and Turkey. Only a few convoys of aid have entered rebel-held areas since the disaster 6 days ago. Angela Kearney, who works for the UN Children's Fund in Syria, says youngsters there are really struggling.
Bewildering and sad and confusing. These are kids who haven't been able to go back to their buildings since 4:30 on Monday morning and, you know, left everything behind, left their favourite toys, left their games, left their lives. And they're now living in either shelters or moved into relatives' houses that are already quite crowded.
The head of the International Olympic Committee, Thomas Bach, has said that while he shares the grief of Ukrainians, governments shouldn't decide who takes part in sporting events. Kyiv has called for a boycott of the Paris Olympics if Russian athletes are allowed to compete. Football and Southampton have sacked their manager, Nathan Jones, after just 3 months in charge of the Premier League club. The Saints lost to Wolves yesterday and are bottom of the table. BBC Radio Solent sports editor Adam Blackmore says some fans wanted him gone sooner.
Certainly after the defeat at Brentford last Saturday afternoon, which was followed by the bizarre, odd comments made by Nathan Jones in his press interviews, that alienated the fan base even further. And the defeat yesterday to Wolves, a side playing an hour of the game with 10 men, and after Saints took the lead in that game, was the final straw.
And that's the Six Music News. Your next update's at 2:30.
Six Music.
And I will follow you everywhere you go. And I'll be with you to the end.
Welcome back to The First Time with me, Matt Everett, here on Six Music. And my guest today is the legendary Senegalese artist, Baba Maal.
And I will follow you.
This is Suye Neo, I Will Follow You, the opening track from his Nomad Soul album. More about that brilliant record in a few minutes' time, but first I asked Baba more about living in Paris and his first impressions of the city. Tell me about Paris. What were your first impressions of Paris? If you've got that connection, if you've been...
A lot of restrictions. I went for adventure first.
Yeah.
And then I said, yes, I make a profit of this staying in Paris to learn about music. I went to a small conservatory and sometimes go to the Conservatoire de Paris to take some private lessons.
What were they like?
It was nice talking about the music because any kind of music just called me. So I wanted to know. I wanted to know about classical music, Beethoven, Mozart, and more and more. I wanted to know how to write music more, and because that was my challenge, you know, to see how one day we can write really African music to make everyone to be able to know about it and to read it. But when I say restriction in Paris, it's, I came in a place where any time of the day you want to play music, you can play music. You want to rehearse. Especially in the night, when the people in Paris, they want to rest. In Africa, we want to play music. So,
so I wake up everybody, come on, where are you going?
So we as with young people also, I was living in a house where it was full of students. So every night they say, come, Baba Mal, Mansour say, come, play music. And when we started playing the guitar, even slowly, even not even a big noise, people will come to bang and then it's bang, bang, bang. We want to sleep. It was not me. It was not me. Because I never get a restriction to play music. Especially when I travel with Mansour, we travel a lot in West Africa. When we start to playing music and the people who welcome us in their house, the whole village will come to enjoy that moment. So when you come to Paris, the whole people will come and to say, shut up, don't play the music, we don't need want to hear you. It's a shock, you know. I said, okay, I'm going to manage to see where I can play music. And I start to go in the foyer of the immigrants' foyer where there were some Africans, Guinean, Malians, Senegalese, Mauritanians.
Yeah.
And I started to come there and to perform with Mansour Sek down there. So there, no one tell us, stop. Even people want have to go to in early morning to work, but they prefer to stay and to listen because the music connected them to where they come from.
Let's talk about Miles Davis, because Miles Davis famously went to Paris and it changed his life. It like, fell in love with the whole city. It changed his whole career and changed his music.
I love Miles Davis. I didn't know that much about his life. Like you mentioned, he came to Paris and all of that. I just discovered the music and the music was talking to me. There is something magic and something really, it's not dark, but it's something that impresses you on where it's like the music's coming from far away just to talk to you. And there is a lot of seriousness of playing this music that I did really liked because I can't compare it with some performance of people who play kora, the kora or the African traditional guitar, when they play it in a house where it's more about African intellectual people, all the leaders, they are just here, they talking between them, taking decisions, and at the corner, these people will play the kora just and seriously. For me, I think Miles remind me that scene because it's all part of African music.
Yeah, yeah.
You have the dancing in here. You have the music that is popular. You have the music of the griots, but you have also this music for the leaders where they are really connected to this. It helps them to think and to bring some solutions and to talk between themselves and to, in the early morning, to send the messages to the people for the decision that they take. So I think Miles remind me this kind of African musicians.
Right.
Where they are much more serious on the way they're playing the music. Because when I was young with Mansour Sek, we was more excited, mad dancing, jumping, seeing friends, girls, and all these things. But someone like Miles, he remind me these griots.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Once again, we could do with more politicians having music in their
lives. Yeah, you need that at the parliament. Yeah. At the corner, just before you start the session, just play music.
Yeah.
It's going to cool you down. You're going to think, and it's going to show you maybe the solution.
Yeah. We should talk about Nomad Soul, because that's like, it's a pretty important piece of work, you know? Can you remember when you were doing it thinking, more people are going to know about me? This is opening doors.
When I do music, I just focus on the music, and I always say, in Africa, when we go into the studio, especially before, we don't think about how many cassettes we're going to sell or how many people are going to listen. It's just we wanted to play music. This is a new machine that help us to put our music inside. This is an environment where we know that we create something, record something, and leave it. And God only knows what it's going to be after.
It's done. Let it go.
Yeah, let's go. Let's do some think about some other songs. So in Africa, this is how we go to the studio and write songs. When I was doing Nomad Soul, it was just like that. I had many ideas, many things that was talking to me, and many things that I discovered by when I was traveling, like Celtic music, like the screaming orphans, I hear about them, and I say, I need to do something. I want to do. I don't have to keep this for me. I want to put it in an album. And it just came by itself. And people who just joined me, like Barry Reynolds, all, like I said, the Screaming Orphans, and all of them, they just came into the process. At the beginning, I didn't know exactly what it's going to be.
Really?
No plan, no saying, I have this amount of songs, I'm going to record them. I just did let it go. And till now, this is the way I write music, I record music.
To see what happens.
To see what happened, to be.
Let's do another track. What should we do?
Fela Kuti.
Let's do Fela. Okay.
Because it was around the years of 1968. It was a big revolution everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
People wanted to change things. And at the high school, we was talking, yes, there is a musician who is a rebel, who's challenging the politicians, and who is free, because we wanted that freedom. We was living in a moment where the caste systems just keeps you in who you are. You are a fisherman, you stay fisherman. You are a griot, you are dedicated to do music. And you can't leave. There is an organization, and we wanted to be free from that. And Fela came to say to us, yes, you can be free. You can challenge, you can bring loud your voice and tell what you think about the society, where it's heading. And whatever happened, even the politician can come with the police and beat you, you're going to be here because that's your time. So it was a reference for all of us. I think it's before the music. It's who he was first that attracted us to Fela. And then see a little bit of pictures, because there was not many television like that, to see some videos. And you see all this naked person just with his tattoos and his things. You say, that's freedom.
That's a thing.
That's freedom. We loved it.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow.
No agreement today.
Go giri, make my brother hungry, make him not talk.
La 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 la.
I no go giri, make my brother homeless, make him not talk.
La 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 la.
My grandpapa talk, your grandpapa talk. I no go giri, make my brother hungry, make her not talk.
La 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 la.
I no go giri, make my brother homeless, make her not talk.
La 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 la.
No agreement today, no agreement tomorrow.
When was your first film soundtrack work? Because you've done some amazing film stuff.
Gelwar.
Okay.
From Semben Usman.
Okay, tell me about working on that.
He came one day, I remember that it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Good memory.
Yeah. And said, I want to see Baba Mal. I said, Semben Usman. I was fascinated by all the works he did, Lamanda, all the films he did. I never thought he would be interested in me. And that's, he just came. and say, I'm doing a new film. It's called The Gelwar. And I want you to do the music. I say, I never did that. He say, find a way to do it. Look at the movie and bring to me something. He was like a master saying, yeah. Yes, you have to do it. It have to be to you and you will do it. You don't have a choice. Yes. So I watched the movie and I was really, really happy to do the music. And we did it in a very tiny little studio. And everyone down there who was working with me was excited to be part of that. And I didn't use many instruments. I did use a kora and a guitar and a little bit of a keyboard. That's it. It's especially, I think he wanted more the voice and my name in it.
Yeah.
He thought maybe my voice was working with movies and he wanted to help, to push me to do it,
yeah.
You know.
Which has worked because you've done like so many films. I mean, you know, to the point of Black Panther, which is just this huge machine.
Yeah, it's huge. But I think I enjoyed very much doing this music of Gelwar.
Yeah.
I was so impressed when I was asked by Ridley Scott also to sing on the Black Hawk Down. That's really, really something that really touched me emotionally. Yeah, when you look at the pictures, you look at the film, you look at what's happening, and you feel that in certain places of the film, you feel that you want to say musically something, you want to sing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I didn't feel that in many others, the movies.
It's a different world, isn't it, film soundtrack?
Yeah, it's different.
There's a frame for you.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess when you go and make a record,
it's emotions that people ask you to bring out.
Yeah.
And it's not my world. It wasn't my world till now.
Now it's very much your world. So the new record, what did you want to achieve with this album? You say you don't have a plan when you go into the studio, but you must know the world.
I did this one.
Yeah.
It's not to achieve. I just wanted to make myself understand much better that the most important thing in life is just to be and to let it go. Just look at what's ever happening around you. Maybe you get a lesson from it. Just let things to come to you naturally and to share things naturally with people with no pretension and to appreciate things. This is where you can share it in a good way with people. And if you have things to say, to advise to people that you really apply in your life, and it did help you, just to advise it to people. And maybe it will help them to go over their problems. People are thinking too much these days.
Yeah.
People are trying hard these days. People are getting lost easily these days. But life is life. I think in the album Traveler, when I say traveling makes you learn about life, because you own your mind, your brain, your ears, you see things when you travel. But now in life, you can't even stay at home and you are traveling. And when, if you let it come to you naturally, you pick up the right things, you respect the earth, you respect the planet, you respect people, respect yourself, you respect life, you'll get the really good lesson that keeps you in harmony with yourself. And this is why I said this album have to just to be music, not some industrial things, not pressured on me and to say I have to have an album. Just I wanted to sing, to play music with the people I like to play music with, and I just let it be. So this is how I did being.
Yeah.
Hey, my dear Bopulo, hey, my dear Bopulo, Arbato Milara. Hey, my dear Bopulo, hey, my dear Bopulo, and would you more so than a wolf? 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 And what the coody bala world, and what the coody bala world, and what your body natural, and what your body natural, and when you more say any, Lubam no pima, Lubam no pimada, good dita, and bear the mother, Lubam no pima, good dita, bear the mother. Mami yow tane grela yow tama yow tere duna mami yow tane grela yow tama yow tere ngurnda lubam nopi ma an gudita an berne mada mami yow tane grela mimi jangi jeyi min tane bandam min tane laram mimi lani lani yale niyo min tane grela. E che mentane grela e mi hetto mi halane e mi hetto mi halane halan ma hala gilli e mi adi bil adi e mi adi bil adi nyane adi fewja salano di adi muri firtu di adi prezi gise basunyan.
Still believe in the power of music, that we're all connected by it, it can have that effect on you.
Of course,
yeah.
Deeply, I believe that deeply, that maybe everyone is a musician, but everyone don't play music or do music, but if ever we know the power of music, how we can open your spirit. In the north of Senegal, in my community, we say musicians, if it depends on musicians, everything will be so beautiful on this planet in life. Because this is in the beauty of people being together that musicians can really perform, can really be inspired. Musicians don't like to be asked to come to perform. Where is a fight? Where is a suffering? Can't do it to give advices. But if they could, music will be played wherever people can get happy and be together, also appreciate life and appreciate friendship, appreciate being sitting down, having the same food together, like in Africa in the night when it's hot, because of the music, it keep make you feel like if it wasn't hot, give you time to enjoy all of that and to pass through till the next night. So music is powerful.
And the last thing. What song should we finish on?
Bebe Manga.
Okay.
Amie.
This is like the big song, isn't it? This is a big, famous, famous tune. Tell me why you've chosen it.
In Senegal, at the radio, they have this program where's music sur commande. The music that you like, you write a letter, and the letter came to the journalists, and you dedicate this music, this piece of song, to your parents, your friends, people that you love, you like. And what was really good at that time is Bebe Manga is from Cameroon, and people loved that song, which is like a diva.
Yeah.
Just singing. We've to do it. I'm you. It's like a call. And I like to travel. I like to think how the Gabonese people live, how the Cameroonian people live. And this song reminds me exactly Cameroon. And later on, when I met Manny Dibango also, there is a connection between Bebe Manga and Manny Dibango and Cameroonian music. Because I'm Senegalese, I'm a Fulani, but in myself, deeply in myself, I think I'm just African. And I love all the style music that came from Africa. It makes me travel in the years, in the times, in the regions. This is one of the reasons that we went on adventure, Mansour Seck and me, just to go to discover all this music. If it wasn't the passway of my dad, I would have gone to Cameroon, to Tanzania, to all this, to Malawi. I wanted to go just to listen to music. And Bebe Manga was one of the people I wanted one day maybe to meet. It didn't happen, but I love Amiu.
Then that's the song we'll finish on. It's been lovely to speak to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Bebe Manga, the final choice of my guest on the first time this week, the legendary Senegalese musician, Baba Mal. His new album, Being, is out at the end of March and he's performing at the Barbican Centre in London on Tuesday the 30th of May. If you head to BBC Sound, you can hear more first times from this series and from the archive from the likes of Janelle Monáe, Khalees, Sir Elton John, Mark Ronson and many more, including last week's first time guest, Cozy Fanny Tutti. I'll be back next Sunday with another first-time guest. Until then, my name's been Matt Everett. Thanks for listening.